I hope others will forgive me if I overstep that one.
This Indian of being overlift now is spalal. And the Indian of sitting down, the Soyotal Adamas of Mispalel. Since we've been learning the Indian, I see it happening all the time. I see people going Oysa Shalom right in front of somebody else. I see people walking past in front of somebody who's davening Shemoneh Esrei and this sort of thing. It seems to be very, very common, and people don't seem to be very aware of it. So just the very fact that we've learned the halachas, it makes you feel a little bit more aware of these halachas. There's a tachlis. We're finishing.
The Pisa Migdosh, everybody was crowded in, and they all bowed down together, they all said Shmuel Yasser together.
Correct.
And there was no walls, no machitzas, no chairs, no tables, no nothing.
Correct. So if everybody's bowing down together, that's no problem. If we're all doing the same thing, right? When he's standing, I'm standing. When he's bowing, I'm bowing.
It's finished before the other people.
I don't know. First of all, it says that they were bowed down. What's the loshen? Umishtachavim revochim.
Yeah.
Omdin tefufim umishtachavim revochim. So it says that they had daladamas around each other. So there wasn't a problem with sitting down, except that they weren't going to sit down anyway because ein yeshiva ba'azorah. Right, a regular person can't sit down in the azorah. So the daladamas problem of sitting down in the daladamas isn't a problem. And the idea, what?
Big bundle.
There are a big bundle of people, but yet they seem to have a space all around them. So and anyway, they couldn't sit down. Okay, so only the Kohen Gadol and the Melech could sit down. So therefore, the sitting wasn't a problem, sitting within Dalad Amos, and passing in front, they weren't walking in front of anybody else. They were all bowing when they were bowing, and they're all standing when they were standing, I guess, yeah? In any event, just the final two sort of PSs on the subject, and then next week we'll go on to something else. One is that the Mefoshim bring down that the same issa that there is to be overlifnei mispalel or to sit b'toch dalad amos shel mispalel, if the mispalel is an adult, the same is with a child. So it says if a woman's davening, or a man is davening, or a child is davening, as long as the child is old enough to understand, he probably can't translate the Shemoneh Esrei. But he's old enough to understand that he's standing in the shul, and he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's davening, that already qualifies him as a mispalel, and therefore you can't sit down within his Dalad Amos, and you can't walk in front of him. So the child also has a chashivas, he is a mispalel, like we are. Yeah, that's number one. And anyway, do we understand the words of the davening so well anyway? Yeah, but as long as the davening is in the
adults.
But davening that's in Lashon HaKodesh is certainly accepted in front of the Rebbein Shlom, whether you understand it or not. You daven sincerely to the Rebbein Shlom, you say the Hebrew words, then you're Yoitzah. So we're saying that a child also has that chashiva. So if a child is a mispalel, then you can't walk in front of him and you can't sit down b'toich Dalad Amos. The other thing that the Mama Modchai brings down, he holds that the problem with walking in front of him Svalal is that you're disturbing his kavona. So therefore the Bi'ah Halacha brings down, yeah, De'ema Mispalal Mashal Shel Atalas Alponov, K'moshe Noegim Habe, D'muta Lav Alponov. That if he's got his talus brought down right in front of his face, so he can't see what's going on around him, then you're not going to disturb his kavona if you're walking around him. And he brings the Raya from the Koyanim. Right, the Kohenim cover over. They bring the talus over their head and over their hands, yeah, in order that they shouldn't see and shouldn't be seen. Right? And therefore he wants to compare it to the Kohenim and to say that if the person has, but the Mishnah Berurah then says in the Bi'ah Halacha, that's all good according to the Tam, that you're going to disturb the Kavona of the Mispalel. So if he can't see you because he's got the talus down right over his eyes, then that's not a problem. But says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the other Tam, that you're being mafsik the Shekhinah, that you are making a break between him and the Shekhinah, it wouldn't make any difference whether or not the talus is over his head or the talus isn't over his head. If you walk in front of him, you're mafsik the Shekhinah, and therefore that won't be.
Does it help with the sitting down next to him?
What?
Does it help with sitting down if you've got the talus over his head?
I don't think so, because that's nothing to do with it. The very fact that the space, in the Dalai Lamas in which a mispalel is standing is considered kodosh, yeah, and therefore you shouldn't be sitting within that Dalai Lamas, won't make a difference whether or not he's got a talus over his head or not.
Everyone does.
Right? And then it says here, Rav Shiyoshivim Talmidim Veloimdim. What happens if there's a shir going on? There's a Torah here. And then somebody comes in and starts davening Shemoneh Esrei. He's late or whatever it is. He comes in and davens to it. So it says, even if, what happens if a minion comes in? A minion comes in and they start a minion over there.
Yeah.
Yeah? So do we have to answer Baruch Hu? Do we have to stand up for them when they stand up? So he says, Rav Shiyoshivim Talmidim Veloimdim. You've got a Rav is giving a shir, and you've got Talmidim, and they're learning. Yeah? Uvor Asoram is Falim, and 10 people came in and they started a minion. Then the halacha is, Ein Tzrichim Lamoid. You do not have to take much notice of them. You don't have to get up for them. You don't have to stand up. And the Mishnah says, Vafilu Midas Chasidus Lekon. He says, not even a Lachatchila. Yeah, this does happen actually sometimes. There's sometimes upstairs in Rav Chuna's, they've got like a bit of Medrash Eri at the back of the ladies' shul. Yeah, and they can hear the davening that's going on downstairs because there's an open space like here. Yeah, and they can hear what's going on downstairs. Are they mechuyev to answer Omen Yehesh Meiraba? Are they all supposed to get up during Baruch Hu and bow down? The answer is no, they're not mechuyev.
Sometimes I have Dershu here, and they say Kalish at the end.
Yeah.
And people around have to stop and listen.
Oh, same thing, yeah? If somebody says Kaddish at the end of Dershu, and there are people sitting and learning here, and they mechuyev to answer, yeah? I suppose no. I'd need to look it up. I'd want to be sure. Yeah, I don't want to paskin off the top of my head. But as far as I know, if you were here first and you were busy learning, then somebody who comes in afterwards is Bor Bigavuloi. He came in to you. Yeah, you were here already. Then the halacha would be that you're not mechuyev to answer. And I've seen people during shir, you know, they hear there's a shir going on and there's a minion going on next door, that they do answer Omen Yehesh Meirabo. Yeah, people do that. But I think al pi halacha, they're not mechuyev for sure. Whether they're allowed to, basically.
Start with the Torahway in Northwest London, Monday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Kavtes Elul, 22nd of September. Rainer Rav Mordechai Weiss, Shlita, The Impact of the Shofar. This is Torah sponsor Lil Nishmas. Our founder is Yosef Dov, Shimon Michal, Sviat Skivitz, from the Rochel, devoted founder and organizer, started there the Torahway London, Golders Green. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers, as usual, for giving me the opportunity, the honor, and the zchus to spend the morning with you, to be part of this wonderful start today, the Torah way, that we should be able to continue doing this, Mr. Shem, for many, many years to follow. This week's shiur is dedicated for our unforgettable friend, Dudi. It was a very difficult week for the start today, the Torah way, and for the whole community of the whole Golders Green. He always used to say that whenever he wasn't able to follow, to come live to the Shia, he said he always used to follow, tune in, and follow along live. There's no question that he's tuning in now and he's following live. And there's no question that he has tremendous nachas when he sees that all the things that he's built with his hands are still continuing on, and Be'ez Hashem will continue for many, many more years until all be the Schusoy. So there's no question that he has tremendous nachas from it. Daibish to Shachik and Nechoma to his family and to all his friends. And we should be Zeuch always to hear only Besiris Toivis. Tonight, as we all know, is the Heilige Yontav Rosh Hashanah. There's an interesting Gemurah in Rosh Hashanah, that the famous Gemurah that we all know. Gemurah says, Omar Rabbe, Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hi, the Rebbeinu Shlalim says, Emri Lefuna B'Rosh Hashanah, Malchias Zichroinois V'Shoifres. Rebbeinu Shlomo requests from us that we should say the psukim, that we say in the long Musaf from Rosh Hashanah, we say 10 psukim referring to Malchias, 10 psukim referring to Zechronis, and 10 to Shofaris. Says the Gemara, why? Say Malchias, Kedai Shetam Lichun Aleichem, I want you to crown me as your king. And then I want you to say Zechronis, because I want your Zikurin, your memory should come, Lefuna Letoiva, that I should remember you for good. Ibameh, and how will that happen? B'shoifer. With you blowing the shoifer, that will create that your memory will come in front of me, and I'll remember you for good, and I'll bench you with a gitke bench to you. And the question is, how is the shoifer able to create that our memory should be brought for the Ribbono Shel Olam l'toyve? What's the connection between the shoifer that has this power, this tremendous power, that it could cause the Ribbono Shel Olam to remember us l'toyve? What is the secret of the shoifer that has a tremendous power? There's an interesting medrash. Medrash says as follows: Ashrei hu'om yoydas riu. Fortunate is the nation that know how to blow Tiriya, how to blow the shofar, how to sound the shofar. Asks the medrash, v'chi umas oilam einem yodim l'riya. The nations of the world, do they not know how to sound the shofar? It's not such a big trick. You just take the horn, you take the shofar, and you blow it. Why is it Ashrei v'om, fortunate the nation of Klal Yisrael, that they know how to blow the shofar? Answers the medrash, Eila Ashrei hu'om hayoidim l'ratzois espoiro betri. What the pasuk means to say is, fortunate the nation who they know how to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam by sounding the shofar. So it's not just the actual blowing of the shofar. There's something a lot deeper that we do whilst we blow the shofar, that none of the nations know the secret how to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam, how to be meratz the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the question is, what do we do different to all the nations? What is it that our shofar is different to if anyone else would blow the shofar? And then the question is, the same pusik continues on and it says, Hashem b'oir ponechu yahalaychem. Ribbono Shel Olam, b'oir ponechu means in the light of your face, in the smile of your face, yahalaychem, we will continue to go. What is the connection between the first part of the pasuk and the last part of the pusik? The pusik starts off to say, fortunate is a nation who knows how to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the pusik finishes off that we are going to continue to walk b'oir ponechu. What is the connection? Perhaps I'd like to suggest the following. We know, all the Sfurim say, the Avoid of Rosh Hashanah is one Avoid. The Avoid of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlich the Ribbono Shel Olam, to crown the Ribbono Shel Olam as the King of the Universe. The question is, how, on a practical level, how do we crown the Ribbono Shel Olam? How do we make him our King? Is it by shouting HaMelech, by davening? Is that how we crown the King? The answer is, as Fulham say, as follows. It's a two-step process. It's more than two steps, but at least the first two steps are the most critical two steps. The first step is to acknowledge that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the one who created the world, and he is the one who runs the whole world. He levade usul, he is the only one who did, who is doing, and who will ever do. Nothing happens, or nothing will happen, or nothing ever happened in the world other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam is he and only he who decided everything that went on in the life. Anything that happens in the world, anything that happens in our personal life, anything that happens in the broader world is all from the Ribbono Shel Olam, from him and only from him. This is step number one of being Mamlech the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it's called, you'll see, notice one of the psukim we say Malchias is the pusik of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikaini Hashem Echot, which essentially is saying that we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the only one. That is step number one. By saying that, by exclaiming that, and by internalizing that, that's the first step how to be a mamlech to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's not enough. There's something a lot more deeper than that. There are many powerful figures in the world, many powerful leaders in the world, but they're not necessarily kings. They could be dictators. We have Russia, we have North Korea, we have many of these Arabic countries. Big, strong dictators who dictate their countries, they lead the countries. Are they kings? No. The Vilna Gaon famously says, and he says, there's a difference between a melech and a moishel. A melech is someone who is a king, who the citizens want him to be the king, as opposed to a moishel who is a controller, he's a ruler, he's a dictator, he is the one who no one wants him to be. That is a moishel. For Klal Yisrael, Rabbeinu Shlom is a melech. To be a king, it has to be imalchisoy, berutzoin, kibli alayim, that the citizens accept him with love. They want him, they're happy, they're excited to have him as their leader, to have him as the king. Only then does he become a king. So the second most critical step that we have to do is once we've internalized the message that the Rabbeinu Shlom, he is the only one who runs the world, now I have to take it to step number two. That we have to exclaim that we are happy with the way he runs the world. We are happy that he is our leader, that he is our controller, that he is our ruler, that he is the one who created the world. We are happy, we're so excited. It couldn't have been better. Imagine if we would have had a leader who was a dictator, a terrible person. This, we were fortunate to have the Rabbeinu Shlom, that he is our leader, he is our king.
Hello.
But more than that is, that not only in terms of the Rabbeinu Shlom, the most important is, that when we focus on how the Rabbeinu Shlom runs our personal world, how does he run, how does he lead our personal world, what things happen to me in my personal life, we have to be happy with the way he does that also. We have to say, Hashem, you know what's best for me. You know what's best for me, and anything that happens to me in my personal world is all from you. And I accept your kingdom, Beruzon, I accept your leadership with love, that I know, that I understand that you know best what's best for me, and I accepted Berutzen. That is step number two of the Machisoi Berutzen Kibli Alayim. So number one is noticing that everything that happens in our world is from the Rebbeinu Shloim, and number two, and more importantly, is to say and tell Hashem, I'm happy, fortunate am I that you are the one who runs my world, and I do not have to take care of myself. I once heard a beautiful thing from, I think in the name of Rabbi Zriel Taub, he was a famous person in America. He said the following thing. He said, he once spoke to a group of people, and he said, let's imagine for a moment that the Rabbeinu Shlom calls you into his private office, and he says, my dear son, I heard the last few days you've been davening to me that you want this, you want that. I'm willing to make a deal with you. What's the deal? I'm offering you, take a sheet, take a piece of paper, write down everything you want. Anything and everything you want different in your life, write down on a piece of paper. Within a day, you'll have it. You want to be someone else, you want to have health, you want to have wealth, you want to have anything you want. You name it, you have it. But here's the deal. You have it, you get it, but it's all on your own responsibility. From now on, I take no responsibility on the consequences, I take no responsibility on the rest of your life. If it ends well, if it won't end well, you have to take fully care of yourself. That's option number one. Second option is, leave everything status quo the way it's now. But believe me, I'll take care of your life from beginning to end. I'll make sure I know what's best for you. I created you, I created the world. I know what's best for the world. I know what's best in order for you to fulfill your mission in life. I'll give you all the tools you need to fulfill your mission in life. I'll give you everything you want. And believe me, it'll turn out the best. That's the best for you. That's your second option. Again, your choice. You choose. Either you want option number one. You can get anything you want, but it's all on your own responsibility. Or I take care of you, but then it'll all stay, at least for the moment, it'll stay status quo. Obviously, eventually things could change, but at the moment, everything will stay the same. Which one of these two options would you choose? He said he asked this question to hundreds of people. He told them, I do not want an answer straight away. I want you to think about it and come back to me at a later. They came and said, over the years he's asked hundreds of people this question. Not a single sensible person came back to say they want option one. Every single one of them admitted after thinking about it for a long time that they prefer option two. Because deep down every Yid knows that if there's anyone who knows what's best for him, it's his creator. It's the Rabbeinu Shlom who created him and the one who runs his life. He knows what's best for him. And if he chose these particular circumstances, then that means he knows what's best for him. That is the deep meaning of Malchisoi Berutzen Kibli Alayim. Now every person goes through challenges and challenging times throughout his life, sometimes throughout the day. Every single time a person is about to get upset, either upset with others, with his colleagues, with his siblings, with his spouse, with his family, or with himself. And every single time he stops for a moment to focus, 1 second, things do not happen on their own. Anything that happens is all milamala, all from above. I know that if a person does not bang his finger unless it was decreed from above that this should happen. every single time the person internalizes that and he accepts it with love, understanding that it's coming from a loving place, it's coming from a loving father, then what happens is he's being mamlich to Ribbono Shel Olam. There are people who are mamlich to Ribbono Shel Olam once a year. There are people who are mamlich to Ribbono Shel Olam once a day. There are people who are mamlich to crown the Ribbono Shel Olam hundreds of times a day. Because when it happens, every single time it happens throughout his day, he accepts upon himself and understands that Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's best for me. Whenever he says that and he exclaims that, then he is crowning the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's two famous brothers. They were called Reb Shmuel Abbe and Reb Pinchas of Slavite. There was a famous press called the Slavite Press, the Slavite print. Even to this very day, there are various Sfurim books that were printed in this press of Slavite. These are very, very expensive nowadays. They're very, very expensive because at the time they were the most, it was the nicest print that was available at the time. It's very, very, very well known, and it was run by two major gedolim, major tzaddikim. One of them was called Reb Pinchas, the other one was called Reb Shmuel Abbe. They were descendants of Reb Pinchas of Koritz, the big famous tzaddik Reb Pinchas of Koritz, and they themselves were also big tzaddikim. There was a long story, unfortunate story, how there was a whole blood libel put out against them, and basically they were exiled to Siberia for 22 years in the worst conditions, went through torture, and for 22 years they were in Siberia. After 22 years, they were allowed back to come to the original hometown. That was after 22 years being away from the family, away from home, away from the friends, away from the people. And they were on the way home. And there's the famous saying which one brother turned to the other. Shmuel Abbe turns to his brother. And he says to his brother, Pinchas, he says, "When I was young, I learned a lot. I'm afraid that I may have forgotten my learning over the years. I want to test myself to see if I still remember my learning. I remember there's one sefer which is called Ma'avar Yabik. Sefer called Ma'avar Yabik. Sefer. If I remember correctly, the sefer Ma'avar Yabik finishes with the following words. It finishes with the words, Ashreichu Oila, fortunate are you the world, Shakudesh Burich Yimelech Boch, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the king in you. Fortunate is the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam is king in you." First thing he did when he came home, before saying hello to his spouse, before saying hello to his family, he takes out the Ma'avar Yabik, he checks it up and he sees, yep, this is the way it finishes. This is the story. The tzaddikim explained there was a much deeper meaning. What he was trying to tell his brother is that we were now away for 22 years in exile. We went through the most difficult circumstances. But I want to make sure that I remembered all along this message, that Ashreichu Oilam, fortunate is the world, Shakudish Burich Yemelech Boch. I want to make sure that not even for one moment did I forget this truth, that fortunate is a world which is run by the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is our loving father. And even though we went through very difficult times, that still means that I did not forget for a moment that he was our king. And Imalchisoi Berutzen Kibli Alayim. There's a famous word from the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim says famously, there's a skule that people could always use whenever they go through difficult challenges, difficult circumstances, to always change it for the better. And that is by saying and by internalizing that Ein Oid Milvado, there's nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. By saying that, they're able to transform everything from darkness to lightness. That's what Nefesh HaChaim says. And there are many, many people who followed this skule, and they were saved from very terrible circumstances. They were saved by doing this skule. There's a very similar word from Reb Tzudik HaKohen, and it says something magnificent. And he says, when a person lives with this realization, that Ein Oid Milvado, that there's nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam loves him, that is called living in the smile of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Living in the Ha'uras Puna, like we said before, Ha'uras Puna means a glow of a face. When someone shows a glowing face to someone else, he smiles at someone else. When a person lives with this understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, and he loves us, and he's showing us his smile, to a certain extent, that's considered living in the Ha'uras Puna of Hashem. You're living in the smile of Hashem. You're living in the light, in the brightness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says when a person does that, what he manages to do, he transforms his life from darkness to lightness. And if he waits for any salvation, he will be saved, says Reb Tzudik. He says in Pusik, Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hu ayir punechu ve'ivoshayu. Huay Panecha means, show me the brightness of your face, and immediately I will be saved. It goes together. He says, because as soon as the person internalizes this message, that anything that happens is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it turns, he lives in the lightness, in the bright smile of Hashem, then the Yivushayah, then immediately he will be saved, he will get his salvation. So says Reb Tzudik HaKohen. He says, why? He says, because we know there's a rule in science, that ma'at menu oir doich har b'menachoyshech, a drop of lightness, you go into a big dark room, a huge dark room, you light one little candle, ma'at menu oir doich har b'menachoyshech, one little brightness gets rid of a whole huge room full of darkness. It's a rule of science, everyone could see that. Says Reb Tzudik, as soon as the person internalizes and he lives in the brightness of Hashem's smile, by internalizing this message of Einad Mulvadoi, then immediately all the darkness vanishes. Because it's not possible for darkness and lightness to live in the same place. So if you decide to live in lightness, in the Oir Punechu, then immediately, Vivushai, you will get your salvation. Because darkness and lightness cannot exist in the same place. So says Reb Tzudik, a beautiful word. Good to remember this word. Says Reb Tzudik HaMoyer de Gezach, and that's why we're getting back to our Shoifer. Says Reb Tzudik HaKoyen, he says, when was a time in history when Klal Yisrael saw the clearest that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who runs the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is our Father? That was by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, all the skies were open, everyone was able to see clearly that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, Unoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzaseichem Eretz Yisrael, I am the God who created you, who took you out from Egypt. That was the time in history when it was the clearest. Says Reb Tzudik, the Pusik says that was a koila shoyfe hoylaich v'chuzak moed, that was a kol shoyfe that the Ribbono Shel Olam blew at the time of Matan Torah. Do not think for a moment that that shoyfe was a physical shoyfe. It was a spiritual shoyfe, it's a spiritual sound that the Ribbono Shel Olam blew into every Yiddish and Neshome. That forever, for eternal, they'll always be able to remember this message that Ein Oid Mulvadu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the one who created the world. That Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. This sound is still blowing to this very day. It's just camouflaged. It's covered up with many other koydas that we have in our mind. Says Reb Tzudik, what happens every single year is Shoshone. Whilst we blow the shofar, that awakens within us this koil shofar which the Ribbono Shel Olam blew by Matan Torah, and it awakens within us this realization that Onoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzeichem Eretz Mitzrayim, that I am the creator of the world who took you out from Egypt, I am the one who runs the world, that I am Mulvadoi. It awakens it within us, and the person, even if until then he found it difficult to internalize this message, after going through Rosh Hashanah and hearing the shofar, he will be able to easily internalize this message and remember this truth, that Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. With that, perhaps you can understand why the Gemara says that when we blow the shofar, Yali Zichronaichem Lefuna Letoivi, your memory will come forward for me and I'll remember you the Toiv. And that's very simple. Because when you blow the shofar, what happens? You've now awakened within yourself this Koila shofar, the sound of the shofar from the times of Matan Torah. And therefore, the person could easily come to the realization that Ein Oid Mavada, there's nothing else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then, of course, what happens then is that Yale Zechronaichim Latoybe, like Reb Chaim Velazhiner says, that when a person internalizes this message, that Ein Oid Mavadoi, then he's able to transform the darkness to lightness, and of course, it will be Yale Zechronaichim Lefuna Latoybe. And with that, perhaps you can understand the other medrash that we mentioned, we started off, that Ashrei Hu Om Yoida Sriya, fortunate is a nation who know how to sound the shofar. And the medrash says, why are we different to other nations? And the medrash answers, because we Yoidim Laratzis as Boirim Betriya. We know how to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam with our shofar. And the reason is very simple. Because when we blow out the shofar, we awaken within us this Koila shofar that was in the time of Matan Torah. And therefore we come to the realization that Ein Oid Mulvadoi, and therefore we managed to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam. And with that, perhaps it's beautiful how the Pusik finishes off, and the Pusik says, Hashem be'oir punechu yahalaichem. Because like we explained before, Reb Tzudik says that when a person lives in this realization that there's nothing else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, he, so to speak, lives in the brightness and the lightness and the smile of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is be'oir punechu. That is what Reb Tzudik says, be'oir punechu. Yeah, we mentioned before the Pusuk that it's the same thing, because this is what happens. When we blow the shofar, we are able to achieve this level, to start living in the smile of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to start living in the brightness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we are able to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam, and with that we are able to be zoiche, to yali zichronaichem lefuna letoive, that our memory comes forward letoive. Finish off with a beautiful story that I heard this year from Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg. He said the following story. It brings out the power of the kol of the shofar that is able to awaken within us, like we just mentioned. He said there was a Yid in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim who made chasnim. He married off his oldest child and he invited all his cousins, all his relatives. He had a relative living in France who unfortunately was not from, did not keep any of the mitzvahs. He decided, since he's a family member, he's going to invite him to come to the chasnim. He came to the chasnim and he played along, he danced along, part of the whole family. After the chasnim finished, he said thank you and went back to France. There was Choshev Rav was sitting by the chasne, and he turns to this balsimcha, to this person who made the chasne, who married off his lot, and he said, I noticed that you have a relative that lives in France who is unfortunately not from yet. Why don't you try to be makarav him? Try and bring him back, bring him closer to Yiddishkeit. It's a shame that he should have to live there without keeping any of the mitzvahs. So he said, there's two reasons why I can't. Number one, because he's gone too far. Now, he was not right by saying that, because there's no such thing as going too far. But in his mind, he thought that the seed has gone too far, and there's no way he's going to come back. Sometimes you get these people who are, you know, those types of people who the dafke don't want. That's number one. Number two, I have never done a kiruv, I've never done an outreach, and I have no idea how to speak to people to try and bring them closer to Hashem. So I've never done it, so I don't know how to do it. He said, you know what, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. I'll call him up, I'll wish him a happy new year, and as I'm talking to him, I'll ask Hashem to put the right words into my mouth, and perhaps I'll be able to do something. He calls up his cousin a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and he says, I'd like to wish you a happy new year, and he says, Hashem, please put the right words into his mouth. And then all of a sudden, a thought popped into his mind. He noticed there was a shofar on the table, because he was a baltakai, he was the one who used to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and he used to practice. Edel used to practice, he had it sitting on his table, this shofar. So he turns to his So he says to his friend, to his cousin on the phone, and he says, do you know what a shofar is? But of course I know, it's what Yidden used to blow in Rosh Hashanah. Would you mind if I practice now and blow you the shofar over the telephone? Because I like to practice shofar. He said, of course, go ahead. He takes out the shofar and he starts sounding the 30 koilas, the 30 sounds, finishes off, and he says to his cousin, with that, I'd like to wish you a happy new year. And I wish you well, you and your family. And he hangs up the phone. That was the end of conversation and end of story. At least that's what he thought. A couple of years later, he was in Eretz Yisrael, the same person. And he's sitting by a chasana, by a wedding. And someone comes over to him. Someone who's completely from Ben Toira comes over to him, a yeshivish looking man. And he says, Shulam Aleichem. This is Aleichem Shulam. Do I know you from somewhere? He says, yeah. Do you not recognize me? He says, no. Look closely. I don't recognize you. He says, do you remember you had a cousin that lived in France? He says, yes. Look closely again. He looks closely and he sees that this is none other than this cousin, this relative. He says, how did this happen? He says, do you remember a couple of years ago you called me up on the telephone and you sounded the shofar over the telephone? He says, yes. He says, I don't know what happened. As soon as he finished doing that over the phone, all of a sudden, I felt something awakening within me. I cannot explain what it was all about. I just felt something awakening within me. And I felt that I cannot continue my life the way it's now. And I told my wife, you have to start keeping slowly, but slowly, one mitzvah after another. We started keeping all the mitzvahs. Until finally we became fully observant, became fully Shema Torah mitzvahs. And finally my wife says, we're living here in the Freie area in France. There's no schools. We're sending our children to public school. How about we move to Eretz Yisrael? And this way we can enroll our kids into the from schools. That's what they did. They picked up, they moved to Eretz Yisrael. They said, now we live in Yerushalayim and we send our kids to the most Haredi schools, and it's all in the schos of the shofar that you blew then. And this story brings up the story I heard of Tzimai. Said he heard it from the person himself, not secondhand. He heard the story from the person himself who was the one who did it. This story brings out the power, the tremendous power. Now shofar does not only have the koyach to awaken within the people who have gone too far. Even more so for the people who are still close, it has the koyach and the power to awaken within us this realization that Tainad Bavadi. Says Reb Tzudok HaKohen that Mashiach will come, Ibayoyim, Ibashoyfe, Gudol, Yitoka, the Rebbeinu Shalom will blow with the great shofar, he will blow, Ibuhi, Oivdim, Be'eretz, Ashev, Aniduchim, Be'eretz, Mitzrayim, and even all those lost people, lost Eden who have gone too far, he will awaken within them this same koyach shofar, the same sound of the shofar that was there from the times of Matan Torah. And all the Eden, it will awaken within them that they will all start doing tshuva and come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And with that, the salvation will come, HaMashiach will come, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should help, that we should be zeuche, that our shoyfe should awaken within us this tremendous realization that Ein Od Milvadoi, and we should be zeuche to be mamlech the Ribbono Shel Olam, to crown the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not only whilst we blow the shoyfe, but throughout the day, and throughout the yontav, and throughout our life, whenever we have situations which look a little bit not the way we wanted it to look like, and every single time we stop for a moment and we say, Ein Od Milvadoi, there's none other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything Hashem does is for our best intention, for the best benefit, and with that we'll be able to transform all our situations from darkness to lightness, because Ma'atmenu Oir, a drop of lightness is able to push away a lot of darkness. And may we all be zeuche to agit geben shtiur to aksibe v'chassime toiv and a happy new year. Shkoyach.